Hello and welcome to Grumpy Gamers. You're here with me, Pete, and alongside me this week I have Ben.
Hello.
And Eddie.
Hello.
Nice, you've brought the energy, Eddie. I like that, considering you're probably going to pass out in about 55 minutes.
Yeah, it takes about an hour and a half for the sleeping pill to kick in. We've been chatting shit for 25 minutes, so yeah, let's just say the feature's going to be pretty
cool.
We
haven't timed this particularly well. We've been chatting shit for a good 25 minutes.
We have been, But we're on the clock now, boys, so we've got to do this fast.
Let's get rolling, baby.
Indeed. So, I mean, first thing we should mention, Ben, is your new YouTube video.
Yes, yeah, we've got, I'll be talking about Splatoon 3 and what we've been playing, but yeah, we've got a 20-minute kind of gameplay video of Splatoon 3 up there, so go check that out on the YouTube channel, Grumpy Gamers Podcast.
Yes, indeed, but for tonight's show, we're returning to our normal format after taking a week off while Lyle was here, so obviously we're going to start with the news and the new releases, and then we've got a bit of a packed what we've been playing section with, well, features including... Warhammer 3, Immortal Empires, Splatoon 3, as Ben's mentioned, and F1 Manager as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got loads of new ones to talk about today. It's probably our biggest what we've been playing section that I can remember in a long time.
Yeah, and I mean, not to mention, all three of us have been playing Expeditions Rome, so we can talk about that as well, which should be pretty fantastic. And our feature is, of course, on Gamescom. The opening night was last Wednesday,
I think. Yeah.
Somewhere around midweek last week. And obviously, there's a huge amount of announcements. So we're going to have a bit of a run through in that. But given our time constraint, shall we start with the news?
Yeah, and we've got one in the quick news section, but it's just because it didn't make it into the main news because we've all got a big one. So, that came out wrong. So the first story, PlayStation being sued in the UK. Supposedly... Sony are being sued for effectively ripping people off. I mean, it's all to do with the 30% kind of commission they take on digital games. And the crux of it is there's a case been put against them where per claimant damages could range between £67 and £562, excluding interest. They've been taking too much of a cut, supposedly driving up prices, blah, 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 blah. I don't think it really means anything. I think it's just probably an annoyance on Sony's radar, but this made the news. It made Sky News, actually.
Yeah.
So it's real enough to do that. I mean, the Sony 30% is nothing crazy in the industry. I think a lot of other places like Steam do that.
I know Epic do far less. Be watching this and going like, "This is
shit." Yeah, it's almost interesting that they've chosen to go after Sony. There must be a particular reason for that, or maybe it's just we go after one because going after many there'd be too much pushback. Yeah. I don't know, but Epic Games notoriously do not take as big a cut.
Yeah, it's about 15.
Yeah, something like that. So, you know, there is something, but I don't think it's going to come to anything. It's in the quick news because we haven't gone into it any further, and I'm sure there are better minds looking at this than we are.
We all knew that because we could hear you click to the other tab and scroll down.
I just realized when I was talking about this, I was like, I haven't read this story. So, yeah.
We encourage no one else to bother reading it either, but no, it made the news. It could be a big deal. It won't be.
Yeah, and thus ends the quick news.
I'll go first. Embracer Group buys Lord of the Rings. Cause this. In a press release, Embracer discussed its process of buying Middle-earth enterprises, although it did not disclose the sum of this deal, citing commercial reasons for this decision. This deal would mean that Embracer will own the rights to motion pictures, video games, board games, merchandising, theme parks, and stage productions. Stage productions? How many productions are done in Lord of the Rings?
Now hundreds, hopefully.
Really? Hopefully. No. Oh, yeah, I can't wait to watch my next, you know, musical of Lord of the Rings.
I once saw The Hobbit.
Oh, my God, so did theater. I. Didn't I? I think I went in school. Wait. Did you do it in school?
No, I actually went of my own volition.
Wow, that's tragic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it?
I was forced to school. Yeah.
It happened.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You were forced at school. We went to the same school. How were you the only
one? Yeah, we went to... It was weird. We went to, like, Torquay to watch it as well.
I went to Torquay to watch it. No, I went to Truro.
Oh, we went to Truro. It was one of those.
Yeah.
Okay, we're really on topic here. Anyway, moving on. On this, Embracer said this deal will open up opportunities to explore additional movies based on iconic characters such as Gandalf, Aragorn, Gollum, Galadriel? Is that her name?
Galadriel.
Her name? His name?
Her name. You're not a Lord of the Rings fan, I take it.
You know what? I am, actually. I am, but I have no idea who okay, that person
fan.
Is.
Let's try the next one, then.
That's the woman, isn't it? That's the daughter of... Dude looks like a lady. Aerosmith lead singer. That's right. I'm right, aren't I?
Yes.
I'm loving it. It's a niece. But anyways, yeah,
yes,
enough.
Niece. There you go.
She's but go on, in, say the name. Say the name.
She's in the movie that that Ben always cries at.
Yes, yes, Armageddon. She is in Armageddon.
That's
yes.
It.
Wow, yeah. Okay. We're going very niche on a lot of references. We've given people a tour of the Southwest. And now we're doing this without you actually trying to pronounce her name.
On a day that I need to rush this through as well. Ewan? I'm going to
close
say
enough.
That.
Close enough.
Ewan. Ewan. Oh, yeah. I was close. And other characters from the library works of J.R.R. Tolkien. And continue to provide new opportunities for fans to explore this fictive world through merchandising and other experiences. Yeah, I'm quite happy with this. Whenever someone buys a new sort of thing, it means they normally kick loads of things off. So... I think this could be good. I think there could be some TV series, maybe even a couple of games. I do wonder how much, because I bet, I assume that's it's going to be a shit ton, right?
You would think it's not an insubstantial amount, wouldn't you?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I find it a bit weird considering, like, there's obviously an already iconic series of films. Then we've got an Amazon TV show coming up, and we've got the Gollum game.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you don't own any of them.
It's almost like it's too saturated. Like, if you're planning to load more stuff, it's quite saturated. But maybe they're thinking what's coming out in terms of the Amazon TV show and Gollum. Like, that's a massive platform for them to jump off with new things.
And I'm hearing lots of good things about the TV show.
So far, most of the critics and stuff seem to be pretty keen on it, don't they?
Yeah, and it's apparently the most expensive ever made TV series.
Yes,
so,
by an absolute bloody mile as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah,
they got money.
Could be good. Yeah, I'm excited for this anyway.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm really interested to see where it goes. I'm not sure I'm excited about it.
I mean, Embracer are buying every like this.
Yeah,
I never thought I'd wake up to that news. I didn't think that would happen. It's like, whoa, okay. Embracer are fucking massive.
Yes.
They have the most developers under their.
Well, apparently they bought another one, by the way, but it's undisclosed who it was.
No, they bought their very first Japanese studio.
Okay.
So that was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it? This was like...
Oh, that was a mere couple of weeks ago, Eddie.
This was in the same story.
this one's in the same story. In addition to this acquisition, today also sees Embracer acquiring other studios, including its first Japanese studio. Good fucking
enough.
Fair enough. There you go. Eddie was right.
So. Could be the same.
Go fuck
it's
yourself,
undisclosed
Pete.
Who it is what I mean.
They haven't actually
named the company or anything.
Right, fine.
Oh, stop backtracking, Pete. You take the loss.
It says the studio is Mashiro Yuge's Tatsujin. There you go, Pete. Go fuck yourself.
In which case, there's another one again.
There's not, Pete. Move on.
Stop lying, Pete.
Stop fucking lying. This is supposed to be the news section, Pete.
You know what? All I'm doing is actually buying time until Eddie's mental state starts to slide, and then I'll
nice,
win.
And then I'll just give up. Yeah, yeah, Pete's right.
If I keep this one section going 50 minutes, he'll be asleep and I win. So, but
right,
anyway, no, it's also because I'm next up in the news.
Nice.
With one that could have been super exciting, because news dropped, I think, this morning about EA potentially being bought by Amazon. Which, I mean, it seemed really interesting. There seemed to be quite a buzz about it. And then there was an update in the early afternoon that was just, this is not going to happen today. Then you're like, okay. Right, fair enough. But so a lot of this apparently came through CNBC in the US and USA Today, stating that Amazon were going to formally announce an offer for EA And obviously EA have been subject to a bunch of different takeover rumors lately, mostly with people like Apple and Disney as well. So EA really seems to be the way into the gaming market for a bunch of people, at least in theory. And all they actually had to say about themselves, EA, was we don't comment on rumors and speculation, which useful, yeah. But yeah, when the update came through on CNBC, it was literally just, no, this isn't happening, at least not now. So the actual quote we got was, I've talked to some people who would actually know if there was something going on, and they said there's nothing. These were people who would be involved and who in fact were involved when our parent company was talking to Electronic Arts. EA has definitely been out there in the past a bit, considering what it might do. You might imagine Amazon have some interest, but no, it's not happening today from what I'm hearing, unless the people who had previously been involved are no longer involved. So this did send EA's stock price soaring, though, at the time. Nice. So it at least did something useful for them.
So,
so
is this an almost news story?
Massively so, yes. But the reason I wanted to make sure everyone got it is please go and look up the CNBC segment on this, because the two presenters clearly know basically nothing about the gaming industry and proceed to sort of oddly flirt with each other to make it feel less awkward.
Oh,
and then okay.
The main guy refers to it as a Swedish meatball update when talking about the original source, which was from Sweden.
Right.
He's an interesting bloke. Just honestly, it's like 4 minutes long. Go watch it. It's worth watching just for the presentation style, if nothing else.
But it does seem like EA being bought is a potential. I'm interested to know what happens when they lose that FIFA kind of licensing. Like, how does that really affect EA? Because FIFA's just absolutely monstrous to them.
Yes. Yeah.
Are people still going to buy that football game when it's not called FIFA? I assume they are.
Until it has realistic competition, I assume they are.
Yeah,
Well, you could argue that the Championship Manager and Football Manager days, Ben, let's be honest, we moved over to football. Oh, well, I moved over to Football
yes,
Manager.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Instantly,
Yeah, and it didn't matter. As long as the game was the game.
Yeah, it was the game itself, yeah.
I know. I just don't know what the common kind of gamer who may not be keeping up the news, suddenly the thing's not called FIFA anymore, and then something else might be called FIFA, and
exactly,
they buy that thing instead.
I don't want to be mean, but I bet a lot of FIFA players are your casual gamers who aren't, who literally, it's their only game they buy, and they, you know, I know a lot of FIFA players who take the week off and just buy it, and that's their only game that they have a console for. So, yes, I don't think they would keep
that
up
does
with
happen.
The news, and they don't. A lot of people won't know that this has moved across and it's no longer FIFA and whatnot. So, yeah, I think that's a fair assumption.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll watch the space on that one. But it is...
I bet they want to get acquired before that becomes a question, though.
Yeah, and, you know, you could... One of the big boys could come in. But I do think it's interesting that Amazon are involved because Amazon, out of all these other... When you've got Disney and people like that, Amazon seem to be one of the more credible ones in terms of the...
Gaming
understanding.
Already,
yeah. Exactly. They've had some success, especially with their MMO. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, see what happens.
Yes, indeed. But it's not happening today.
No, it's not happening today. but it might happen by Wednesday when this comes out. So,
yeah.
Right. Okay, the big story then. So that was, we've tried to cover kind of 2 weeks in one here, but this is the big story from this last week that PlayStation, Sony, are increasing the price of the PlayStation 5 in most territories other than North America. So the price in the UK has gone up £30, and in the rest of Europe it's gone up by 50 euros. So previously it was... The main PS5 was £450. Now it's £480.
Yeah.
Just for context. Elsewhere around the world, Japan, China, Australia, Mexico, Canada, they also get the price rise. But the US didn't. This bit, you know, that's something for us to discuss. But the quote as to why this has happened is that it's due to high global inflation rates, as well as adverse currency trends impacting consumers and creating pressures on many industries. The follow-up to this is that Nintendo and Microsoft have both responded by saying that they are not going to be increasing prices at this time. So that's what happened. The backlash on this was how you'd imagine on social media. and it was almost like someone had killed a child live on air or something. It was very, it was quite intense, I thought. The general view is that it's money grabbing. It's awful. They're reporting record profits, etc. They haven't put the price up in North America. So that kind of says, well, you're looking after that market that you consider the most important. Mm-hmm. But the other markets where you think you can do what you want, you have done. And obviously, it's not nice to see a price increase at all. But the PlayStation, in my mind, is one of those items that it just costs a lot of money. Like, once you're up in that kind of luxury item kind of bracket, these are like things that you buy if you have the money available. It's not food, it's not shelter or anything. It's a luxury item. And the price of it was £450. If you'd asked me how much is a PlayStation, I wouldn't have known. I'd just go, it's £500, I don't know. So it's already up. I wouldn't have known what it was. It's kind of arbitrary what the price was and what it's moved to. The whole thing is like PlayStation are the bad guys, Microsoft are the good guys for not putting the price up. And I just think people are weird about this. Like, it's business. Both companies are trying to make the most profit in the long term that they can. PlayStation have decided that because of the cost of materials and everything like that, they've put the price up in line with inflation or just under inflation. And Microsoft haven't, because they are trying to balance it at the other end and maybe get profit in a different way. You know, people might turn to their console as a result, mm-hmm. By perception or what have you. So it's just a different way of approaching things. Sony thinks they need to raise the price. And I don't... And one of the things that comes up in my head is inflation is at like 10%, guys, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is a below inflation rise.
Yeah.
Technically speaking, don't want to be that guy, the PlayStation is cheaper this year after the price rise than it was last year in relation to all other goods on the market.
Yeah.
That's right, isn't it? Like, yeah. It's risen by less than inflation. Now, like it's a tough one. Now PlayStation obviously trying to protect their margin, prices have gone up on the cost of sales and they put the price up on the item. I mean, we saw it with the Meta Quest, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think? I think it's a weird one.
First off, I always find it interesting how keen you are to defend businesses, Ben.
I know.
Yes, as a consumer, and it's obviously because he's got his own business, so he is. Yeah. I've noticed that. When Kirk sent that message through the week going, can you believe they've done this? And Ben immediately, before I even had a chance to message back.
Yeah, yeah. But the shareholder, you have to look after shareholders' interests and all
that
kind of stuff.
Got to look after shareholders, not the gamers.
The way that they're trying to make money, so they're preserving that line in long term. They think this is the best way of doing it. Now,
doubling down doesn't help. It's all good.
I wouldn't want to spend more money. I don't want it to cost more money, but I'm just saying there is a rationale. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, but there is a rationale behind it, and I just think people go crazy over this, and it's a one time thing.
I'll be honest. I truly imagine that the main reason something like this is happening is they've had to renegotiate a chip contract.
I'm sure
Microsoft and Nintendo don't, so they don't have to change anything for now.
Well, that's the thing. That like, great point.
I imagine
we've seen that.
Like that. Yeah,
we've seen that Nintendo have stockpiled,
like exactly.
stockpiled like. Stock, so and parts and everything. Maybe that is a reason.
Exactly. I would think it's something like that's going to have an impact. Now, it doesn't affect me because I look at it and go, it's too expensive. Fuck that.
Yes, anyway. Exactly.
So, absolutely, yeah.
And the thing is, how much of an impact is it really going to have to be? They can't meet the demand anyway. So if they were going to raise price, now was the perfect time to do so. Because the people who are still desperately wanting one are going to get it when it becomes available, regardless of £30.
Oh, and when Sony do an inevitable State of Play in September, this all kind of goes away.
Most likely,
the marketing machine kicks in and then people kind of forget about this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And you are correct in saying that when it's that sort of price and it's a luxury item, that you're going to do the mental acrobatics.
Yeah, you're through the looking glass, man.
Yeah.
Like at that price.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't like it in... the sense of as a consumer, I automatically don't like it. But otherwise, who cares?
Yeah, it's a one-time payment. And I think the thing that we should be focusing on is the price of these games. Like, the £70 game is more important than the £30 one-time
Yeah, do you know what upsets me about this? I mean, I am, if anything, I'm on Sony's side, only because of inflation. I think it's really shitty that they didn't raise their prices in North America. I really don't like that at all. But also, it's such an expensive item. That upsets me a little bit as well. Like, how much is it now then? Is it up to 480?
480, yeah.
£480. And this is weird, but if I was buying an Xbox with that, I would be telling myself when handing over half a fucking G is there's Game Pass. So, and I guess PlayStation Now have their thing, don't they?
PlayStation Plus, yeah.
Different levels of whatever. So I guess if I was going to chuck away half a grand, then at least I would tell myself that. It's just a lot of money.
But it was always a lot of money.
It was always a lot of money. Yeah. So I'm not criticising the decision because inflation's gone up. Everything's fucking gone up. So I feel it kind of bad that the whole industry, and my God, I've seen some comments, are all having a go at it because everything's gone up.
Yeah, I just find it a bit that people go crazy and this is where they draw the line. Like, we got a cost of living crisis and all that kind of stuff. But this is where people go crazy. I mean, obviously people go crazy about energy bills and stuff like that. I rant.
Oh, yeah.
I rant to everyone. But this is just another example. Like, I don't see how this is like tremendously, this is just the price. If you go around the supermarket, everything costs more now.
But yeah, that's
like,
what I mean. When people are seeing all the different prices and they're looking at their bills and then they're going shopping and they're seeing their bill cost almost double what it was, how do they hear this and get outraged?
It's just because Sony are making money. People are like, oh, Sony are making money, lots of money. So there is a massive disconnect between what they're raising prices. Wow, why?
So what they're asking for is they're asking for a charity here. They're asking for
Sony to make less
money because they want to.
Yes, don't forget that consoles are often sold at a loss.
Yeah,
like consoles are often sold at a loss. So what you're potentially asking Sony to do is, yeah, we know it costs more to make, but we want it to cost the same and you just take the hit. And that's what people were just expecting. And I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying what Sony have done is right. I'm just saying it's a weird thing to ask of someone. You wouldn't ask that of a lot of businesses.
Yeah. Well, again,
it's just because it's something you care about.
I think it's the fact that it's alongside them being reporting record profits.
Yes, it is.
That's never a good look. But otherwise, the point still stands. Like,
but people say about Nintendo, they're like, oh, yeah, but Nintendo aren't raising the price of the Switch. Nintendo did raise the price of the Switch. Now, let's not be fooled here. Don't get it wrong. Nintendo released the OLED model and had a little bit more space in it. That didn't cost £50 more to make. They raised the price of the Switch. Like, that's what they did, but it's just under the veil of improvement. See, now what PlayStation could have done is improve the storage space in the PlayStation.
Yes,
and said it costs a little bit more. And
smart,
yeah, that could have been how they did it. But Nintendo, like, these companies aren't the good. Nobody's good and nobody's bad. Like, I just don't get how this personification of these companies rules.
No one's good and no one's bad, but Microsoft clearly are the good and Sony are the evil.
No, that's the narrative. Yeah,
The only bit I disagreed with is him saying no one's bad. They all suck. That's the key thing. They all suck.
They're all motivated by making money. They wouldn't do this if it wasn't going to make the money. So at what point did that change? Like, wake up.
I think everyone's awake. They're just like raging about it. Much like you do with the price of electricity.
Well, that's the thing. Is people are upset about money. So they're always going to complain. And when they see something that they want to get has gone up, then they're going to be upset.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, wages often don't rise at the same rate as inflation, especially when inflation is massive. So people get annoyed. Because wages haven't gone up. But
break away from the economics discussion and move on to new releases, maybe?
Sure, let's do that.
All right, I'm going to do a bit different this week because we've got 2 weeks to go through, so I'm just going to read out some crappy ones and tell you what it is, and then there's some interesting ones in there, so I'll tell you about them. So the ones that came out last week, or if you're listening to it this week, then 2 weeks ago, or whatever the fucking Ben always says. SD Gundam Battle... I was taking the piss, dickhead. SD Gundam Battle Alliance. PC, PlayStation, Xboxes, and Switch. Came out August 25th. Or 24th, if you're listening to it tomorrow. This is a multiplayer Gundam action RPG game. Yeah, there you go. Next one. This one's for Ben. Train Life, a railway simulator. Came out on PC. August 25th. Basically, you play as both the driver and company director. And you got...
It looks fucking wonderful. Doesn't it?
That is a wrong reaction to Train Life. Big reaction to that.
It looks really nice.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it looks nice, and it looks like you've got some cool management decision systems in there, and it, I guess it could be quite a peaceful game as well.
Lovely. Absolutely lovely, yeah.
Yeah, I do, Eddie. Good.
Why do you spend your free time being a business person? Like, what?
I've spent about 15 hours on Power Wash Simulator in the last week as well.
Jesus.
Great game.
And don't forget, I played that... Like when it was originally in early access, I'd already completed the early access stuff. So,
oh, yeah, great game, cool. Great game,
replayability right there.
Oh, great game, that's great game. Oh, there's so many new things to clean, Pete.
Oh, bet. Game of the decade,
for fuck's sake.
No, you can't do that. Next one, Aqua Dean. Yeah, that's it. PlayStation's, Xbox's, Switch, August 26th. That came out. It's an anime visual novel game, looks proper horrendous. Next one, The Company Man, coming out on PlayStation's, Xboxes, August 26th. It's a 2D platformer, but you shoot emails. I put Ben will love this.
Yeah, why have you put Ben will love it? I'm the person, I'm literally the guy here that stepped out of the 9-to-5 paradigm.
Because you're the nerd.
Because I stepped out of that. I don't want to be the company man.
You fucking love emails.
And yet, even in a podcast, you're the company man.
How is that even? Well, for the podcast, maybe I'm the... Yeah, okay. But that's ridiculous. I'm literally... Don't worry about it.
Great game, though. Next one, Pac-Man World Repack. Do you see what they did there? Because Pac-Man repack.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, we can.
Coming out on everything, August 26th. It's a revive of Pac-Man World, which I've looked up because I didn't know what it was. A 2.5D platformer game.
That's why it needed a revival.
There you go.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And I'm glad it has, because all those people that have been waiting for this game, oof.
Absolutely.
Lucky you. Soul Hackers 2. Came on PC, PlayStation's, Xboxes on August 26th. It's a neon-coloured JRPG.
It's made by Atlas.
Exactly what that game is, and I haven't even looked.
It's made by Atlas, so you know what the game is.
Yeah.
Like
okay,
it's
that helps. Yeah.
I think it's a shit Persona.
And Persona was pretty shite, as we all agree.
No, I was going to say, that's a savage comment.
Yeah, that's too harsh, Ben.
No, you've taken
that's
that
harsh,
the wrong way. That wasn't the break I was expecting, but yeah.
Shit Persona. God.
Shit. How do you have a shit version of shit? I don't
know. How will the developer come back from hearing that?
Eddie and Pete's comments do not represent the opinions of Grumpy Games.
Of the company.
Next one, Back 4 Blood, Children of the Worm DLC, coming out on PlayStation's, PC and Xbox August 30th. It's a DLC for Back 4 Blood. If anyone's still playing that.
Yeah, is anyone playing that? Like,
No. To answer you, no. Me and Kirk played it for a good 3 hours one evening, and then the next day he went, do you want to play again? No. I do.
Okay. Sounds about right.
Yeah,
sounds about
good.
Right.
And it's not just because it was Kirk. That was a large...
But it contributed.
50%. Yeah.
I was playing it already with someone else, and I was having a good time. But, no. Next one, Destroy All Humans 2, Reprobed. That's what it's called. Because you're an alien.
Yeah.
And you probe people.
Yeah.
Brilliant. PlayStation, Xbox System, PC, August 30th. For those of you who don't know, it's Destroy Humans was a third-person action-adventure. I put where you're human. You're not. You're an alien.
I don't know why you've written that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. No idea. I think the first one did quite well, didn't it?
Yeah.
It did very well, yeah.
Remember correctly?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there you go. F1 Manager 2022 came out on PC, PlayStation, Xboxes August 30th. Well, came out today if you're listening to it tomorrow.
Yesterday, if you listen to it.
I know, god damn it!
He just says whatever he wants.
Eddie, I was making it worse. I don't
came
know
out a year ago, if you listen to this in 2 years.
Oh, that was going to be my next one, Ben. Fuck you. This looks great. I'm not going to talk about it because Ben has it on his new releases. So, on his what we've been playing. So,
yeah.
I'm really looking forward to hearing about that because this looks great to me. Next one, ORX. I'm going to call it that and not Oryx.
Nice. I'm happy with ORX.
Yeah. Came out on PC August 30th. Tower defense card. What the fuck have I written there?
No, I was waiting for
what
that.
What the fuck?
I'm guessing Builder.
Builder. Builder. Oh, it's Builder.
Oh, it's going to be Builder. It's going to be Builder. Yeah. Sorry, me with my fat fingers have obviously tried typing too quickly there. It's a tower defense card builder game with like an 80s art style. Actually, that's quite interesting. If you like tower defense and all card games, I'm going to say, I'd look this up. ORX. Next one, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Cowabunga Collection. You see what they did there?
I do.
Fucking hell. Yeah. Some of these people need a pay rise. I'll tell you that much. came out on PlayStations August 30th.
I think it's on everything, actually.
Oh, is it? Oh,
I think it's on everything, yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
It only said those, but all right. Yeah.
Yep. Someone should have changed that, shouldn't they?
It's on everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you knew that, Ben, you could have updated the notes mid this season.
Oh, I didn't read it. No, I didn't read it.
Nah. Couldn't even look at it, did you?
Nope.
Okay, it features 13 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles video games, which, until the latest one, nobody gave a fuck about. So
no, that's not, these look really good, and the attention to detail on this game is outstanding. Like, the love and care that they've put in to making these games again, like, improving them, taking out, like, the sprite kind of flashing and all that type of, all the options seem amazing, and they've got strategy guides for every single like level in every game. It's real. Like, if you've got nostalgia for these games, like, they've put a lot of love and care into making this collection.
Nostalgia being the big word there.
Yes,
because if you don't have that, then do not go near.
Oh yeah, if you don't have that, no. If you don't have that, no. But if you have nostalgia, they've really put some good time into this.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay. Next one, Tinykin, coming out on PC, PlayStation's, Xbox's, Switch, August 30th, is a 3D platformer. It's got an interesting hand-drawn art style. It doesn't look too bad. I've put Kirk question mark because we were expecting Kirk to turn up, but yeah. With half an hour to go, he obviously told us he was too busy. This actually looks... I can't believe I'm saying this about a platformer game. This looks really cool. What do you guys think?
It looks like Pikmin, doesn't it?
It does.
It looks like almost like a really nice artistic hand-drawn style Pikmin. I looked at this and I thought, yeah, this... Because Eddie put not doesn't look too bad, and I was interested before even kind of copy and pasting it into Steam, and yeah, looks decent to me.
I will never play this, but I can see why people would.
Yes, that's unfortunately that's what how I feel is. I thought this looks way better than the fucking Game of the Year last year, whatever that was.
Yes, it takes two. Yes, yeah. My God, so much better.
So much better. And this is not even a bookmark for me on this year's Game of the Year. But anyway, that was all last week. I think if I was going to pick one, it's going to be F1 Manager 2022, but... let's wait for Ben to talk about that later. This week's new releases, let's start with Scathe, coming out on PC, August 31st. Scathe is an intense, blood-soaked first-person shooter where quick reflexes are the key to surviving the bullet hell labyrinth that stands between you and your ascension. It's like a really intense, evil-looking first-person shooter. It looks way too chaotic for me, but I know that a lot of people like similar games to this. What do you guys think about this one?
It's just Doom.
It's Doom,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, yeah, I didn't want to say it, because Doom always comes up in these conversations.
Yeah, it's literally
this
Doom.
This looks so Doom, though.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Someone likes Doom and remade Doom. There you go. Scathe.
Pure Doom, baby.
Like, if you like Doom, I think you might like Scathe.
Doom.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake. Right, fine. Ooh, Censo Club? What do you reckon that's Censo?
Censo works for me.
Ooh, Censo.
Yeah, Censo sounds better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to call it that. PC, PlayStation's, Xbox's, Switch, September 1st. It's a 2D platformer, but I'm going to give a warning here. It has really bad graphics.
It hasn't got bad graphics. It's just graphics you don't like.
Yes, yeah, bad graphics.
Super ugly graphics, yes.
They're not exceptionally good looking, but it's not...
Stylistically, they looked at the 90s and went, this was the peak of gaming.
Yes, absolutely. They loved it, yeah.
Yeah. Nostalgia, Ben, I believe is the word that comes up a lot in their board meetings.
But there's some modern twist in the characters they put together. So, Kenso Club, there you go.
Do you know that for sure, Ben?
I looked at the video of it.
Randomly spitballing, or is that literally word for word what they say about it to try and justify
it? No, it's not what they say about it. I watched the video, that's my take.
Right.
Hot take.
Okay. Next one. The Dragoness, Command of the Flame. 1st of September 2022, because Pete didn't say that. I also don't know what consoles this comes out on, because Pete didn't put that in. Yeah, I know it's coming out on PC, so there you go. This mixes, you know what, I should have known this, HOM-like exploration. Do you know what HOM is, Pete?
Yeah, it's Heroes of Might and Magic.
Very good. City building and turn-based strategic combat with a roguelite twist. It looks very similar. Well, it doesn't look very similar. It plays very similar to Heroes of Might and Magic. Pete, are you interested in this? Because I know you are a big fan of Heroes of Might and Magic.
I am, yeah. But again, nostalgia is kind of part of that. Isn't it?
Yes.
So I'm not sure if I'll bother looking at this
because you guys like the old games of that, don't you? Oh, not necessarily massive. The new ones.
Number three is the key one. Anything absolutely. Past number five is not worth looking at.
I was going to say there was another one. I think it's five that I didn't mind. Yeah.
Four's okay. Four was okay. Six and seven, garbage. Hot garbage. And this one, to be honest, it looks like it's trying to be halfway between Heroes of Might and Magic and then like into Divinity 2
style
the way it looks, and I'm just like, cool gimmick, I don't care.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. Brutal. The Last of Us.
Well, I mean, hey, I didn't call it a bad Persona then.
That's too harsh, though. You can't say that. Exactly. I mean, Ben did compare something earlier to shooting a baby online.
Child. I just said it was people reacted like I couldn't think of anything on the spot. I didn't have that written down. Like, that was just off the cuff. So it was
the
bad.
Will know this is bad.
It was not a good take. Yeah.
Oh god. Anyway,
I would say shooting a baby in the face is probably the same level as a bad.
You're building it up. Like, it wasn't shooting face.
You're encouraging shooting babies in the face. It's
that's
weird.
That's not the official line of the Grumpy Gamers.
Next one. The Last of Us Part 1 coming out on PC and PlayStation 5, September 2nd. Is it coming out on PlayStation 4?
No, I don't think so.
No, thought it was just on the new console, yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah,
as another way to make a USP of some kind for this obvious money grab.
Yes, absolutely. Is it remake of The Last of Us, if anyone wants to know? How much are they charging for this?
£70.
£70, yeah. It does contain the DLC. But it doesn't contain the original multiplayer, so...
Yes.
If you would like to buy this and you don't have a PlayStation 5, then all you need to do is give out £550.
Absolute bargain for a game you've got.
Absolute bargain!
And can play on your PS4.
That's the same price as my car!
As I said, it's Last of Us is in the PS Plus...
To be fair though, Eddie, that £550 is technically cheaper than it would have been last year.
Yes,
technically is.
Fucking
technically is.
I'll tell you what, Sony should put a huge sale and then obviously with a star and then explaining why it's a sale.
Cheaper relative to other items.
Honestly, after that news as well, I wouldn't be surprised if Naughty Dog turned around and say, actually it's 75, guys. Sorry, inflation.
Yeah. Inflation increase. No, 10%, 77, done. Let's just round that up to 8 and call it a day. Yeah. Right, next one. Lego Brawls coming out on PlayStations, Xboxes and Switch September 2nd. This is a Lego 2.5D fighting game. I quite like it. It looks quite fun and you can customise your fighter. Anything to say on that one?
It's basically Smash Brothers, isn't it? Like,
Smash Brothers.
There's a hell of a lot. So Multiverses has come out and that's doing really well. And then you're getting Lego Brawls. Everyone's following the Smash Brothers kind of trend, aren't they?
Well, you know,
I assume that this costs money. I don't know. I know Multiverses is free to play. So I'm interested to see whether this costs money because People would just be playing that, wouldn't they?
Mm. Well, you know, Lego has a huge following, doesn't it? All the Lego games.
It does have a massive following.
And the movies as well, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
A lot of nostalgia attached to
them. A lot of nostalgia, guys.
Nostalgia.
That's what they're banking on, the nostalgia.
Nostalgia. I didn't see this last one, so I haven't got any notes on this one. Circus Electrique, coming out on PC, PlayStations, Xboxes, and Switch, September 6th. Did one of you guys... Oh, hang on. I have looked it up, and why haven't I put notes on this? Because I fucking love the looks of this one.
I am glad you say that.
Yeah, have you seen that? You know what, I've definitely put notes. Have you, one of you, put deleted my notes?
Not intentionally, if it has happened.
Oh, don't worry.
I would be chuckling under my breath if I had.
I know why. It's because I've put it on the game underneath, and I have no idea what the game underneath is. So let me say, it's a part story-driven RPG, part tactics, part circus management, and completely enthralling, all with a steampunk twist. This game, and you guys probably haven't looked at it because I've actually put the notes on the wrong fucking game. This game looks really good. It looks really unique, the way it's done. Mm. There's loads of cool mechanics. It has Darkest Dungeon kind of combat. I think this could be a really good game.
Have you guys
looked at it?
I actually did. Obviously, when I first put it on the list, I have a quick look at all of them, just to get a sense. And this one is really interesting. The Mad Circus vibes is one I can definitely work with. And I quite like the UI as well, which is an odd thing to say.
Yes,
obviously,
absolutely.
It's something to look at, but I think it looks really interesting. Be very tempted by this one. Steampunk is always a good genre to go with.
How cool is the UI? Honestly, I completely agree with you. It's kind of like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like kind of steampunk with like hand-drawn, kind of handwritten...
Yeah, that's it. It's like handwritten notes alongside steampunk gauges, valves, that sort of stuff. It's a really cool look, isn't it? So
I see what you mean about Darkest Dungeon kind of style of combat, but then they've just upped the ante on it, and it just looks really cool as well.
Yes, they have. Yeah, I really think this is going to be a good game. Okay, moving on to a game I haven't looked at until Pete started talking about that last game. It's JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle R. Coming out on PC September 1st. Oh, and it's coming out on PlayStations, Xboxes, and Switch September 2nd. There you go.
Yes,
it is. I'm not going to read the blurb.
What?
Because, well, why? Do you want me to?
Yes, so, because my highlight of the week. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle R is.
Yeah. Well, it's a really bad... I was going to describe it. It's a really bad-looking game. There you go. What do you want?
That's not enough.
It's an anime action 2D fighter game.
Can you at least try and say the guy's name? Come on.
Yeah, please.
What? JoJo?
No. The guy in the blurb.
The creator. Hirohiko Araki.
Nice. Thank you. That's what I wanted.
It's his masterpiece.
Yeah. It is his masterpiece.
Brought to life as a fighting game.
Yeah. So this is a really popular anime franchise.
Is it?
Originally, I think. Which is the only reason I put in the blurb for it. It is very popular. And I guess a lot of people have a lot of nostalgia for it.
Guys, you can battle up to 50 colourful characters.
There you go. See? It'll be huge for anyone who liked that particular...
Did you stop me and Pete talking to tell us that you could... fight
see how characters who could never meet in the story interact when they come face to face, Eddie?
Are you just reading bits off the Steam page?
Yeah, it's the Steam page. Yeah, it's halfway down on the blurb. There's about this game. He's halfway down. Yeah.
Okay, right. That's what I thought.
Well, I just thought I should tell people because Eddie had refused to tell people what was in this game.
Yeah. Make a better game, and I'll talk about it. Next one, Biomutant, coming out on PlayStation's Xboxes September 6th. It's a console release, so there you go. Ben, did you play
it? It's just the new consoles, isn't it?
It's just the new consoles. No, I never played this because it didn't review particularly well, so I couldn't be asked.
Yeah, fair enough. And last one, Disney Dreamlight Valley, coming out on PC, PlayStations, Xboxes, and Switch, September. That's September when you have a lot of sex. 6th. Explore a world filled with the magic of Disney. Sorry. I shouldn't really talk about sex before talking about Disney, should I?
No, rewind.
Yeah, I apologize. Next one, and last one, Disney Dreamlight Valley, coming out on PC, PlayStation, and Xbox, and Switch, September 6th. There you go. No sex involved. Explore a world filled with the magic of Disney as you discover rich stories and build the perfect neighborhood alongside Disney and Pixar heroes and villains in the new Life Sim adventure game. Welcome to Disney Dreamlight Valley. where there's lots of sex. This is a relaxing adventure Disney game. It's not for me, but I'll be honest, it actually looks really nice. I bet a lot of people will actually enjoy this. What do you guys think?
I think it looks wonderful.
Oh, fucking hell, Ben. That's a bit much. That's a bit much.
I think it looks genuinely lovely.
I saw the name and went, this is not for me.
Why do you think it looks lovely?
Because it looks really nice graphically. It just looks like you're having a nice time. It looks like it's a good life sim. I saw a bit of farming and stuff. You got alongside Woody from Toy Story. Yeah, fucking hell, I'm all in. Great.
I'm getting a lot of...
He's not having a sex timber. But yes.
No. I am getting a lot of the Sims vibes. Are you, Ben, like Sims with Disney? Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Looks wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That is, yeah. I think Ben's gone too far. It's almost like a good Persona. That's the way I see that game.
Right. That's
just above average Persona.
My game of this week is got to be Circus Electrique. I think that can be quite a good game.
Excellent choice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Looks good.
Thank you.
Looks good.
So we're on to what we've been playing, and I think you should definitely lead us off, Ben.
Yeah, as we said earlier, I played Splatoon 3, so this weekend indeed. There was a Splatfest, which is the...
Splatfest? Period...
I still find the phrasing awkward, but yeah.
But it's the periodic thing that they do where they set up teams, you choose a side, and then you battle out over the weekend to, you know, just in various matches or whatever, see what side wins. People. So it's like, they choose weird things. Like, back in the day, it was like, you choose between ketchup and mayo. Like, what's your favorite? And then this will be like rock, paper, scissors. You choose one of the teams, that type of stuff. But basically, it was just a way for them to demo the game for a day. So on Saturday, it was just open for everyone to play just the Turf War. So just the 4-on-4 non-ranked Turf War game. But it was great to play it. So I played for about 3 hours. I did make that YouTube video, so you can check out the gameplay on there that I'm talking about. But it felt really good. It felt faster than the last game. And they have made what seems to be quite a few improvements. So the lobby system that they've incorporated before you enter a match, like you've got a little practice area, you can meet with your friends, you can get together in a team a lot more easily than you previously could. So that's excellent. The new weapons seem good. I played on a couple of new maps. That was excellent. Nice. The main thing, the gameplay is just fun. It's just really fun. Like, you're just having a good time when you're playing. I mean, as I said, you can watch some of this gameplay and you get... Yeah, it is a competitive shooter. So it's Nintendo's competitive shooter. And some people are fucking amazing at these games. And there's Splatoon... like world championship events.
I was
going to
say,
time.
Is there
like,
some sort of esports with this? Yeah.
Yeah, there's massive esports with this. Like, it's really popular. It's all on Nintendo's YouTube page, like, all the time. It's really big. And, it worked really well. So, the actual games, I only had a couple of disconnects. They were so smooth. The graphics look sharper, look better, looked very good on the OLED and handheld. I put it on my monitor, and I was really, really impressed. Thought it looked great. The music is just kicks like the last games as well. Fantastic. Yeah. It's going to have the single player on top of this. It's going to have all the ranked modes. You're going to get 12 maps at launch. Content for this will be heavy from day one. It's got new weapons in it. And I used the Splatana. didn't have massive success with it. But the normal kind of assault rifle type guns are much better for me. It's more Splatoon, but to me, this didn't feel like a DLC. This felt like a new game. And the overworld section, like the town area, looks vastly bigger, looks vastly improved. On this Splatfest, there were occasionally where you were against all three teams. So three teams battling out of the map to cover the most turf. Excellent, like, new modes and stuff like that. This is gonna be a real example of Nintendo doing things right. I have no doubt about it that this game, it's amazing that this game is gonna cost the same as Mario Strikers. That's what I'm saying. Like,
here we go again.
It's worlds apart. Like, this is, they did a really, really good job of Splatoon 2. this is going to be excellent. It's content heavy. I think the improvements they've made couldn't have been DLC or anything like that. And you're going to get a single player experience as well. So I am really, really looking forward to this. It's on the 9th of September it comes out. I'm going to be playing a lot of this.
I'll bet. And I suppose it's one of those things as well. They don't need to reinvent the wheel, do they? Like, it's a successful franchise.
That's it. They're not.
And it's been bloody brilliant so far. So as long as it lives up to
doing that. Yeah. This is just a sequel. And a lot of people some people have been saying, oh, okay, yeah, it's more Splatoon. Yes, but the thing about Splatoon is it's fucking good. Yeah. And we all know, we've played shooters, right? We've played a lot of competitive shooters. If you add different maps, different weapons, stuff like that, you know, it's a whole new game.
Yeah.
It's,
evolution it's, over revolution, man.
Absolutely. There's new moves that the people are, you've got new specials, all this kind of stuff. There'll be balancing adjustments that need to happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a new fucking game, and it looks really, really good to me.
Fantastic. Look forward to hearing more about it when it's actually properly released.
Yeah, I can't wait, Pete. I can't wait.
Well, speaking of things that have now been properly released, shall I go on to Immortal Empires a little bit?
Oh, yes, please do, yeah.
Awesome. So I suppose first thing I wanted to do with this, by the way, is I know I talk a lot about the Warhammer Total War games, but I thought it's probably worth giving a little explanation about why, and in particular about what these games are. So to break it down, Total War obviously is a hugely successful strategy RPG series, used to focus mostly on historical titles, and now has dived into this particular realm, but it's always been based on empire management balanced against real-time strategy battles involving thousands of units. Unlike those historical titles, this and the previous two in the Warhammer series also bring in magic, monsters, and generals who can solo entire armies. And also a bit of flying, which just adds a bit more depth to those battles. That's why I'm referencing that. Mm-hmm. And then to go on to Warhammer as an IP, which I imagine most people know the name of, but may not know more. It was at least a popular tabletop strategy battle game, featuring some very dense but also very tongue-in-cheek lore in a sort of slightly messed up fantasy world. You know, you've got humans, elves, dwarves, as you'd expect, facing off against alien-worshipping lizards, rodents of an unusual size, and twisted forces of chaos, which is demons and all sorts of other random stuff. And the combination is honestly a match made in heaven. Like, this is why this series has done so well, and this is why I talk about it a lot, and Eddie talks about it a lot, is because it's such a good combination. And Immortal Empires has now come out, which is the name they give to the big combined map of all three games. That's what we've all been waiting for with the third one. And they've actually made the entire Warhammer world into a map.
So to put it in percent, like, this game came out, didn't it? Warhammer 3 came out
in February.
February, and we all played it then. Yes. And it was a iterative.
It was,
like,
a bit disappointing,
update,
to be honest, because
but yeah,
it was
you
only
were disappointed.
The story campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then, and story they did this with, very good. Yeah.
Yes, and they did this with the second one as well. But while I didn't like the story campaign in 2 either, there was only a month before the large map came out, and story campaign wasn't quite as annoying. It was still annoying, but not to this degree.
So is this DLC, Pete, or is this, do you have to, how do you get this? If you've got Warhammer 3, how do you get this?
So the only way to have it is to have all three games on the same platform.
Mm.
So, for instance, Eddie can't access it at the moment because he has 1 and 2 on Steam and 3 on Game Pass. I believe they're trying to do something to rectify that, but it's a little while away. So don't hold me to that. Whether that means they're bringing the first two to Game Pass or something like this, I'm not sure. But there'll still be a bunch of DLC you need to get the full, complete experience anyway, most of which I think you have on Steam, Eddie. Just to talk about this combined map, and for a sense of perspective, the largest historical title, the map had 270 settlements. This one has almost 600. the largest historical title had about 100 factions. This one's got about 300. It's huge. Like, it is absolutely massive. And it's only in beta, technically, at the moment still. They're very careful to say that. And oh my God, does it show. not in terms of bugs or game-breaking things, at least not for me so far. There have been some complaints about graphical fidelity on the map, but I haven't noticed this. What I have noticed is that the balancing is absolutely mad. Like, oh my God, it's mad. If you wanted to play as humans or dwarves, you're going to have a really bad time. Oh. Like a really bad time. And I've played a few different campaigns to get a sense of this. But it's actually kind of a glorious mess because you have no idea what's going to happen except that the main human and main dwarf kingdoms are going to get tanked. And basically all the good guys at the moment are just getting tanked. Now that makes sense because the races that got a big update were the evil ones. And it does mean there's been some really interesting, really messy situations. So, for instance, one of the vampire counts, Ben, the ones you'd probably be interested in most, who are obviously the undead faction in the game, there's basically now a way to complete the entire game with only zombies. You don't need any better unit than bog standard zombies. Because there's a way to make it so that you can functionally heal them forever, which just means your enemy is just unable to do anything about it.
So I wanted to be a vampire on the on Warhammer 3, but those heroes weren't available when I was playing.
Yeah, because they came from Warhammer 1. No, you'd need, again, on this map in particular, you'd need all of them. Now, admittedly, you get Warhammer 1 for like £6 now, I think. So.
And then I'd have access to those heroes.
Yes, yes. But literally, that was... I suppose that's something that they intended to do as a sort of... Because they'd always been weaker, the vampire counts, in Game 2.
Never.
And I suppose they tried to balance it and instead have now made this insanely overpowered build, which is just quite honestly hilarious because zombies are so crap and yet they can win without any help.
Return them to their rightful place. I hear what you're saying.
Exactly, yeah. So the zombie apocalypse is now a fear even for the Warhammer world. That's the situation. But I should also point out Chaos, who were... They're the big evil in this franchise and they were the focus of the third game. And at the moment, they are by far and away the most fun to play. Like, they've made it so much better to play as them, it's beyond belief. Which is really good. It's just a shame that it's come at the expense of all the good guys who are now pretty much trash in comparison, for now. Now, there are a few things that are clearly in need of work. Things like defensive garrisons that used to be a major feature at the moment, they're not really working very well. So, capital cities are... basically as easy to take as some random village. That's not, you know, there's a few things like that that need some work, but it's still actually a lot of fun. And the combination of they've made the AI for minor factions quite passive, and they've made the AI for all the story characters insanely aggressive, which leads to an absolute mess. It's it's really fun. It's like Randy in RimWorld, Eddie, if you dialed it up a notch. It's just mad. I've had a single turn go by where I had 17 war declarations against me. And was just there like, okay, right, that's... Some of them barely even met me. They're like halfway across the world. And you're like, I think this might be more effort than you're possibly suggesting, guys, to kill me.
But to be fair, I had that in Three Kingdoms a lot. And then you wouldn't notice for 30 rounds. And then all of a sudden, a huge stack of people just came onto your land. And you're like, you travelled half of China just to...
Yeah, and it's like you've lost your homeland just to raid me. Like,
what you've been invaded by your neighbouring countries.
Oh yeah, this is what's happening a lot here. But it's just there's so many characters that it doesn't matter. There's always a problem. And the new endgame scenarios are much more interesting than in previous versions. So in the previous ones, it was always chaos. They were always coming to kill you. In this one, it can be pretty much any faction. I think they've got 7 or 8 of them so far, including the vampires, the dwarves, the wood elves. All of them can be involved in the end game challenge. And you don't know which one you're going to get unless you specifically pick it before the game starts. So that's added a new thing to it. But I would just say, if you're playing it at the moment for a finished and complete game, it's not that. But it is a hell of a lot of fun. And it's only going to get better over time. And this is really is what we were waiting for when it was released in February. Like, this is the bit we all wanted.
So Pete, are you going to be playing this? I mean, Warhammer is almost your forever game if you want.
Total War is my forever game, and this is by far and away the best of them.
Yeah,
so far. Now, I want to say yes, Ben, but I should say one more thing about this, by the way, which is also a big kudos to the modding community for this game because there's already hundreds of the bastards out, and it's been less than a week.
Wow,
it's and updated, ready for this. It's insane how well they've done that. But as to my forever game, Ben, it's probably, but I have noticed that World of Warcraft Wrath of the Lich King is coming out on Classic next month.
Oh, you phoned me up just to talk about this.
Yeah, that's a serious problem for me because that was amazing. And that's, it's never going to come around again. You know, twice is already one more time than I expected. So,
So, Pete, you're thinking about diving back into World of Warcraft, getting back into that, you know, because if you don't do it now, the time is of the, you know, now is the time to do it.
Yeah.
It'll be a glorious time to jump back in when that kind of comes out again.
Massively.
So, and as we discussed, there are tokens where you can level up to the required entry level, isn't
it? You can just get it and go. If you'd ever been tempted, this was the best period of World of Warcraft by a mile, and it's dropping again in 4 weeks' time. But until those 4 weeks are up, I doubt I'm going to play anything other than this, really.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
I did expect that, to be honest. I mean, the amount of times you talked about Warhammer on this pod, but this Immortal Empires, this expansion, getting all three Warhammer maps in one game has been the thing you've been banging on about for months. We even did a YouTube video on it, didn't we?
We did, I'm so glad it's here.
Yeah, absolutely. Eddie, are you what are you thinking about this?
It's difficult, right? Because I would hate myself forever if I took a punt and bought it. Was it at the moment probably 45 quid, Pete, on Steam?
Somewhere around there, I think.
Yeah. I'd never forgive myself if I spent that money and then a month later they went, oh, we found out a way that you can just combine them. Because I've got one and two on Steam, as Pete said.
Oh, yeah, of course. You'd be furious.
Yeah. And at the moment, probably because, and I just did just look it up, probably because I've chucked in 250 hours into Total War Three Kingdoms last month. I haven't got that itch, but I mean, the fact that I, and I've looked this up, I've got 240 hours in Total War Warhammer 2, and I grew up with Warhammer, playing Warhammer's board games and whatnot, so it's definitely going
to be... So you called me the nerd earlier?
Yeah,
that should give you an idea of the degree to which you're a nerd.
Right.
Not a dispute against it.
Yeah, fine, okay. Yeah.
While I was playing Warhammer with Pete and my dad, you were there typing up spreadsheets.
Yeah.
Right. I assume when you went home you kept your tie on, I assume?
For a period, I'm sure.
He switched to a casual cravat.
Until dinner. You got to...
Until dinner. Can't have it for dinner.
Ben does own and wears often a cravat. So.
Yeah, I do wear cravats. Yeah, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I look magnificent.
All, buddy. That is strong self-love. I'm impressed.
Magnificent.
Anyway, I think it's definitely going to be something I chuck at least 250 hours into, but I cannot warrant that price. You know what's really upset me is the other day it said on Steam, huge Warhammer franchise discount, and then it had Warhammer 3 as the poster, and it said up to 75% off Warhammer games, 10% off that one. Fuck you. It went, honestly, if you want to buy two or three. No, it went, if you want to buy one and two together, it's 75 and 90% off.
Yeah.
Nah, I've already got
that. You probably get more off the standard on CD keys.
But this is the thing, though, absolutely. Is it's kind of, they did that sale, Eddie, with all the little DLC as well. Because there's something like 90 characters that come from all the DLC. And the games.
I've got a few of them. I'll admit, I've got a few of them.
They did that simply because anyone who bought three, they're like, well, now you can get the whole thing if you buy the rest for cheap. As opposed to what most people have done, which is, I've already bought all that, I want the new one for cheap. No. Yeah. You're not getting that. So, and I mean, the thing is, I would honestly say for someone like you, wait for Christmas. And if it's not been done by then, there'll be a Christmas sale.
Yeah, I think I'm really glad that you've said that the balancing's a bit off at the moment, because that really puts me off games.
It's mad.
Yeah, I think I'm going to wait till a good deal. And plus, I can't, if I bought it now, Pete, me and you would talk about it on what we've been playing every week for the next 10 weeks, and Ben will be livid.
Furious. And
that's kind of why I want it.
Furious.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'd have to have meetings every Sunday, wouldn't we?
Oh, but, and
at the moment, they're about monthly, but we'd You'd have to, yeah.
Ben's going to hate in. Next week. We've gone from a really good what we've been playing this week. Next week, you're going to be playing that again, Pete. And I've gone back to Bannerlord, so Ben's going to be furious.
I'll jump into a Stellaris playthrough just a bit.
Oh, yeah. Fuck it, I'll get a Rimworld one.
There we go. Love it.
You guys.
Do all the classics.
look forward to a content-rich episode next week, guys.
Oh, boy. There better be some news, I tell you.
Oh, should we get Kirk on just so we can talk about Rocket League?
Very good.
Very good. Anyway, we should probably move on to a different game.
Yes. So I've been playing. I've been playing F1 Manager.
Tell us more.
I shall. So, as Eddie said in his new releases, it comes out on the 31st, which is yesterday if you're listening to the podcast today. and as you'd expect, it's a management sim for Formula One where you're basically the team principal. Now, if you're like me and you've watched a lot of Drive to Survive over the pandemic period or beyond, then I think I was just kind of thrown into that F1 kind of narrative, and the team principals are just so important and cool, and they're just running the whole show, and this gives you that experience. So I've been looking forward to this game for quite a while, since I heard that it was kind of coming out. And you make all the calls, you make all the general calls, you make the car design calls, the car improvements, the driver contracts, the facilities improvements, the staff, everything you'd expect from a sports management sim. And then on the race weekend, you can manage everything. So to start off, the graphically, it's very realistic. It's hyper attention to detail. It's incredible production value, and it's full F1 licenses. It's just very, very impressive. So the actual, like, so on Football Manager, where you'd have the match engine, Eddie, instead, you know, you're watching the race, like, and you can speed it up or whatever, it goes to almost the 2D stuff, like above the track.
I was going to say, do you see the track, or are you in the cockpit? Is it cockpit?
In the cockpit.
Is it cockpit? Because isn't that just a plane?
No, I think that's in the cars as well. Yeah.
Okay, good. Let's go with that cockpit.
But yeah, you can change the camera angle, so you can be by the car, or you could be watching you're on TV. You can follow your driver one or driver two. When key moments happen on the track, you can flip to that key moment where somebody spun out or crashed or whatever's happened or overtaken somebody. And it's just, it's really good. And graphically, it looks fantastic. Like, it looks almost real at times. Like, really, really good. That part of it is just fantastic. And it just adds to the overall kind of, like the immersion of it all. It's really, really excellent. So the actual gameplay, it's all very hands-on. The race weekends are actually, I'd say, more hands-on than a game of Football Manager. Okay. Like, you know, on Football Manager, Eddie, you can just have it on the background. You can, once you know what's going on, you just let it go for the first half or whatever. And just, no. Not this. Like, you are there, you're changing everything, you're telling the drivers to do this for that on the other, it's very, very involved. I don't know if either of you have ever come across Motorsport Manager.
No.
You ever come across that? So I have that on Switch, actually. I love the look of it, and this was like a year ago or something. An older Motorsport Manager game, and this is very, very similar. So anybody who's played Motorsport Manager or knows of it, it's very, very similar, but it's licensed and just a lot more detailed. Even down to the race day, like what you're controlling is very, very similar to what you would on Motorsport Manager. The main gameplay outside of the race weekends is like Football Manager in terms of like the menus, what you can kind of control. But because there are fewer F1 teams, fewer drivers, because you've got F1, F2, and F3 drivers. Mm-hmm. And there's just less. So it's not as detailed on that front as something like Football Manager, because there's not as all that stuff. But all the drivers have different stats and contracts, and staff have that as well. And you get development points as you do more in the races. You can actually upgrade your drivers as you go through, choosing what they get better at, which is quite good. But you design the cars and you design your updates on the cars through the season and manufacture new parts. And like, you'll be really excited about that front wing that you've put together that should, in theory, make you the fastest on the track. Like when it comes to when it actually gets built, designed, and then you can manufacture it and get it on one car, then you have to wait 3 more days to put it on the other car. And it's just really, really good how they put it together. And you can see, like, it is quite complex in terms of the improvements. Like, it's basically as complex as you want it, because, like, it's got all the aerodynamics and all that kind of stuff, like the little improvements here and there, but you can just compare to other cars on the track. So you can see what's materially making a difference. So it's taking me from the 13th best car in that one area to the 5th best car. Okay, I want to focus on my speed through corners and stuff like that. So you can design the parts based on that. There's loads of different ways that you can design it. Really, really excellent. But the main gameplay loop outside of that is the race weekend. And you're practicing, you have the qualifying, and you have the races. There aren't sprint races like there are in F1, so I expect that to come through in different iterations, but this is just the standard. But you go through your practices to get your driver kind of acclimatized and to tune the car, and it's all about you have to physically tune the car based on what the driver's feedback is and stuff like that, and move the sliders in the right areas and hoping to get like an optimal thing for the weekend, which rarely ever happens. Qualifying.
I think you've answered one of my main questions. Where do you, with that last comment, I'm a bit worried that I know nothing about racing. I mean, I've watched a lot of...
It doesn't matter.
...fucking Sunday. So, yeah, so it's about sliders. So I was worried.
Brilliant. Yeah.
There's a game that I played ages ago, and my God, it used all the terminology, all of this stuff. And because of all this, I gave up on it, because I had no idea what the fuck it's talking about.
What they've done is they've given all the detail that F1 enthusiasts will absolutely love.
Yeah.
And they've given all the game mechanics for people like me, who are like, have a bit more than a passing interest in F1, but I like it, but I'm not, you know, I'm not balls deep. So it's, they've got the game mechanics there so that you can handle everything. Like, they really have made that kind of, they have made that that important link between those two things.
Brilliant.
And, but like, it comes down to like in qualifying, like, yeah, like bringing your drivers out at the right time so they're not in traffic. And sometimes when you bring a driver out and they get a clean lap and it's fat, and you give a little fist bump because you're like, I did that. I told them, because I thought, right, now's the time to go out. And when they beat the traffic coming out for their flying lap, and you're like, yes, because they've got past everyone and they've got a clean lap. It's just really, it does have that kind of like feeling that you really are impacting things. And then in the actual race, you control how much the car pushes, the fuel usage, and the care of the ERS kind of energy system on the car, and you communicate with the drivers. And what's brilliant is that they've got all these they've got the driver like snips from actually speaking, so the people, like, they've got the person speaking to them, and it's all like actual F1 recordings. So you get your drivers, like Pierre Gasly, like saying something like that he would usually be saying, or like, okay, or copy, or tires are all over the place, or, you know, this type of stuff. Like, it's just the attention to detail is very, very good. The immersion is all there. It's all about strategy. You get to decide the pit strategy. You can change it up. You can go from the, again, Eddie, you don't need to know an awful lot, because it gives you 3 options, but you can tailor those options as much as you want. And even one of them, I went off grid. It was like, I did the race. I was in the race. Really wanted to push towards the end. So I abandoned the medium tires, went onto soft, saw that it would take me through to the race, end of the race, if I got them to manage the tires. Mm-hmm. Did, and we saw it through. Like, it's just, you actually feel like you are having a massive impact on this stuff, and you don't need to be this really technical F1 fan.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting this on Xbox, actually.
That's interesting. It feels like a PC game to me.
So I would say, if you have a PC that you know can handle this, I would get it on PC. I think it's obviously, it feels like a PC game to me. I was thinking I could get it on PC because my PC would handle it, I think, and I wanted to play it on the Steam Deck. But then I thought, you know, to be honest, I like playing these types of games at my desk, and I've got all my consoles hooked up to my monitors just like my PC, and I actually watch Sky on my PlayStation. So so I have PlayStation on one monitor, and I have the Xbox on the other at the time being. So, yeah, a bit about all the PlayStation's good for at the moment for me. So I thought, right, Xbox is my console. And you know what? The controls work. They do actually work. It would be better on PC, no doubt about it, but they've done a really, really good job at being able to quickly move things around and do things. No complaints. It's one of the better management sims that I've experienced on console in terms of the controls. But yeah, overall, I'm still in my first season. So and it like it's got regulation changes. You vote on the regulation changes. You have to redesign the cars as a result. The only thing is, this is the first iteration of this game, and you can't do things that you do in Football Manager, like change teams and things like that. Which I suppose is quite realistic. If you're the team principal of one and you get fired or you move, like, you don't become the team principal of Red Bull or something. Like, it, I think that has happened, but it's not. You know, there's not enough jobs in the sport to be moving around like that. So, but you can scout younger drivers, get them in as your third driver. You can give them experience on the practice sessions. You can level them up, and people have different potential ratings, and they've got all their individual stats and all this kind of stuff. So, it's really cool. But if you have a passing interest in F1 and you enjoy sports management sims, that's the important thing, because I tried F1 2020 recently, and because I quite like F1, but I don't want to be racing around in a roomy game. Like, that's not my, that's not what I'm all about.
You want to be backroom staff for the roomy
game? Yeah, absolutely. I want to be doing the spreadsheets. Spreadsheets. That's what I want to be doing, boy. So answering those emails, that's what I want to be doing. So that's what I've chosen to do. And as a starting iteration, I think this is really, really good. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the reviews are going to come out and say. I haven't looked on Metacritic or ever, but yeah, it's. I think it's going to come out, and I think it's going to get a decent score.
I'll bet. Awesome.
Very cool. I'm actually excited to play this game.
Yeah, I do think, Eddie, that you would really like it. The reservation that I have is that I don't think it has the longevity of something like Football Manager.
Yeah, right.
Because I do think the actual loop of the races, I'm not sure at what point that will diminish in, like, it just being very repetitive.
Yeah.
Like, Football Manager, the best time for me is summer break and signing on my new squad. That's my most exciting time.
I think it's the only time where I actually focus on the game. I think every other time. And in fact, I hate it when I've got a game that I'm really interested in and I've just come out of a season. Because then I go, oh, I have to focus on this, but I'm really into my other game. So, yeah.
I know. And this is also not a game, I'd say. What I've been doing is watching Netflix and having this on. So I've had, like, I've got both sounds, but I've got one ear on the Netflix. You know, I want to be doing something else while playing this game. But it does require quite a lot of attention. It's not necessarily a background game, but you can dual wield it. Anyway, that good game.
Dual wield, excellent. Like that. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go last. But I didn't know, Ben, you played this as well. But Pete, you've been playing this, and that's Expeditions Rome by Logic Artists, publisher THQ Nordic. This came out in January 2022, which is crazy because it feels like yesterday when this came out, but I guess I'm just old as shit. This is the third one in the series. I played the last one, Vikings Expeditions. I think I played it about 6 months ago, probably a little bit longer than that, and gave a little review. I think the other one's called Expeditions. I don't know. It's older.
It's Expedition something, isn't it?
It's Expedition something. It's definitely that. But I think it came out in like 2003 or something. It's a fucking long time ago. But basically, they're isometric RPGs, similar to Baldur's Gate in a way. I mean, that's what I said with the last one, so I've copied and pasted it over. I played Vikings, and there's a lot I liked about it, but there was a lot I was disappointed with. To sum up what I thought of that, I've dragged a quote that I said from the podcast, and I like the idea of this game, just it wasn't executed very well.
Yeah.
This one, in my opinion, has done much, much better. They've kind of, it's almost like they've listened to a lot of the gripes that people had about the last games, and they've kind of acted on it, which is what every fucking game developer should do, but they often don't, because they just see what makes money. But yeah, let's start with probably the biggest strength of the game, the voice acting and your investment in the characters. I said with Expeditions Vikings, my biggest gripe, sorry to use that word again, was I didn't give a fuck about anyone I was in charge of. I didn't like anyone. Everyone was annoying. And it was just, I would rather these people die. But this game, like, I don't know what it is. I think it's the atmosphere, the voice acting is superb, and it just makes you completely invested in your characters. It makes you really want to be the people you are. I normally get really upset when you can't customize your whole party, but in this game, I think it's because the voice acting, it just, and they're all a little bit different, which maybe like really enjoy being them, and not complaining the fact that you can't customize all of them. The RPG elements are great. I think there's four different types. There is. And each type has three subtypes. So there's 12 different classes that you can be. Each weapon has abilities. You can only use like three abilities, so you actually have to like kind of choose what ones to take into battle. So if you use like a sword, it'll give you like two abilities, like slash and pierce or something. If you use a shield, it'll give you like a shield bash and a couple, and then you have your kind of unique ability. So it's really cool to kind of look through all the weapons, kind of work out which person is best to have what weapons. And because of those reasons I've just mentioned, this has huge replayability. Pete's actually further along in the story than me, but that's because I restarted four times. Because the first time I went is like, well, the first time I went is like a normal, I don't know, shield guy, let's call it that. And I was like, just to learn the ropes. And then I was like, oh, that's not really fun. So then I went on to be an archer, obviously.
Yes, great choice.
Yeah, but then I was like, oh, I'm not getting involved in any of the fights. I'm just kind of shooting at the back and all that. And when I come across a shield guy, I'm not going to spoil it. So I then moved on to a healer because then I was going, but then I was finding no one's actually killing anyone because my shield guy was just fucking protecting everyone and I was just running around healing everyone. And then I think the last time was because I came across one of the bosses who had armor. And if you don't have a guy that gets rid of armor, then you're in a lot of shit, trust me. You just have five guys just hacking at one person, not doing anything. So, yeah, there's replayability, massively so. The Legion outposts and buildings and upgrades that you can do are all a great addition. Really, really enjoy that side. I'm a huge base builder. I think we all know this. And this, basically, you've got your upgrades. You build certain things in your tents which all help you in some kind of way, don't they, Pete?
They do, yeah. And it's I mean, obviously it's quite a lot of things you can do. The only bit about it, and I do really like the way it changes how it looks while you're there as well,
so yes, yeah,
it becomes a major feature of your playthrough because you visit it so much and it does change with every upgrade. The only thing that I don't know if it frustrated you because you're still first chapter, it's that certain upgrades and stuff are kind of hampered by the fact that you can only get those resources at a specific time.
Like,
you can't go out and farm up extra resources. There's a set number of them. So it's like, all right, if I'm probably not getting that till end of this chapter. You know, it's just a bit like, so it's kind of time locked. But otherwise, I thought it's a really good mechanic.
It's weird that these kind of things make me feel like I'm playing a game. I liked that you could assign different kinds of people because the people have their different characteristics, don't they, or traits or whatever you want to call it, and therefore you kind of look at what each person, and it, to me, that's kind of resembles an RPG, because when I go to bed I was like, oh, that's cool that guy's a sociable person and he's at the baths and he's cheering people up, so it kind of makes you think like, oh, that's, I don't know, it just, I think added little things to an RPG outside of the game mechanic of fighting really make you keep on coming back.
No, I agree, and I really like, so that particular mechanic, it not only works in the outpost, But like when you're speaking to people with your party members, they react based on those traits, don't they?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And what I've found is if you try and do a full Paragon run like it's Mass Effect and you're just the perfect good guy, you end up pissing people off who are not that guy. So I've almost ended up being a more balanced person in this game because you're like, if I do that, everyone's kind of moderately happy and it's okay. Like, no one's like, you're the best leader ever, but everyone's like, yeah, he's pretty good. He's all right. I don't mind following him. Whereas at one point I had like two people who thought I was God's gift and the others who were a bit like, what the fuck is this guy talking
so
about?
So annoying.
Yeah, why is he always so goddamn nice to everyone? So
I'm like, shocked you're saying that you're a nice guy in this game.
Oh yeah, my no consequence power fantasy is be really nice to everyone, but in real life, the opposite.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely the opposite.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How do you feel, Pete, about... another big bit of the game that I need to talk about is the big battle mechanic. Basically, I was really excited when I saw this. You control your army and you go against other people. I'm going to say this is probably the biggest bit that I was excited about, and I'm really, really disappointed with it. I feel that the whole battle system is you kind of use your cards, and those cards kind of increase certain things. I think the fact that they thought of a mechanic like adding cards to a big battle mechanic, I thought they could have done so much more.
Do you end up comparing it to Gwent a bit?
Well, yes, Gwent, and Magic, the Gathering. Yes, yeah, exactly. And part of me thought the fact that they've thought about including something like that, couldn't they have just gone one step a little bit further and introduced a better mechanic? It really upsets me, this does.
So this has actually been the weakest part of the game for me as well.
Yeah.
The first few, you're like, oh, this is fun, this is cool, it looks interesting, it looks a bit like Time Commanders.
Yeah,
The overview. And then after you've done like half a dozen, you're just like, oh boy. It does get better because you get more strategies or cards.
Yes, and you create them in when you get certain buildings, don't you?
Yeah, and they get a lot harder.
Yeah.
You get outnumbered massively at points, and that means you've got to get more creative.
Right.
But it's still being more creative is picking one of four cards.
Like. Exactly. And I said it when I slammed Red Dead 2, but this is very relatable, is I have a problem when I find the mechanics of a game and you know exactly that you're playing a mechanical area of a game. I find it so boring and shit. And the problem is this feels so mechanical, where you're just putting down a certain card that you know is going to help you in a certain way.
Yes, yeah. And yeah, I do think this is the bit of the game that's the most disappointing. I will say, just to touch back on the isometric battles, though, I think those are really, really good. They get extremely hard.
Yeah,
but
yeah, God,
the
I know that, yeah.
the mix and match movesets become really interesting. My main guy is a shield guy, to use your term for him.
Yes.
I think it's like Principes in the game or something like that, the actual term they had in Rome for it. Or Princeps, I don't know which way you want to go with it. And it's actually a lot of fun because you start being able to mix up the moves a lot. So I basically don't even use the sword I've got. It's just the shield.
Oh, right. Yes,
because the shield is pure dominance.
There's a great move that I use that hurts them, but also means the next attack against you is null and void. So that's the one I choose the
when
shit
you've
out
got,
on.
When you've got like knockdowns, you've got a running charge type move behind the shield. It gets really interesting what you can do with it. It basically just means I use my main guy as a battering ram. That's his job. Helmet down, charge in, get messed up. The rest of the team will shoot him full of arrows in the background. It's great.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know what? The one thing... Well, there's two other bad things I thought about the game, and I'm going to link it with your fights, is I found them to be really long. And I don't know if this is a negative thing, but the problem is like sometimes I have gaming sessions of a couple of hours. I can imagine a lot of people have even less than that. And I found that these sometimes, on the big ones, they last a long time.
Yeah, they really can do. I had one recently which had something like 34 enemies.
Oh my god,
You've got a team of six. But they're staggered, so you're never facing more than about half. But it's just the amount of time it takes them to move to you.
Well, that's the thing, like, Pete.
Oh,
is,
my God.
Is I remember when I first started playing this game, was I when it was their turn, I would look to Football Manager on my other computer, and I would just, you know, do things. But the problem with that, Pete, as you know, is you'll come back, you'll do your move, and then you'll fucking see someone that you didn't see because you didn't see their movements, and you went, oh, you've just come up behind me and killed my archer. Yeah.
Exactly. That is, that, yeah, that is the thing. And I mean, I'm sure there's a setting in the options, by the way, to speed up something.
Oh, maybe.
But it should be by default, because it is. That is the one problem with a battle I'm really enjoying, is how bloody slow their turn is.
Yeah, and then you see they've got reinforcements, and then you have to watch five of their reinforcements just jog along. Oh, my God.
Although I will say, my favourite thing in this of all is if you break morale, your side or theirs, everyone goes a bit mad.
Yes.
So they might run away. They might, like,
shoot their own teammate. That's the best.
Or they might
one,
attack each other. Yeah. And I mean, there's one bit in it. So people with long weapons can hit everyone around them.
Ooh.
And I had one of those in a battle with like 30 opposition, where the guy in the middle of their cluster had a spear, turned and just proceeded to absolutely wreck his entire surrounding six people.
I've never been so low in morale, like in work when it's been a really hard work. I've never just gone and attacked someone next to me. I've never done that.
He went for the entire team.
Yeah,
all
well,
six of them.
Up to him.
They're under extreme pressure, though.
He's protected from all sides. Pressure. He's literally protected from all sides. He couldn't even be attacked.
Oh, he's literally being right helped by his teammates around him.
Yeah, my archers couldn't even shoot him because they couldn't see through his friends. And his reaction to it was to hit them all for me. It's... I think, in summary, I've probably got a similar view to you, Eddie, which is I think it's a good game, but I'm not sure it's going to hold me for long.
Yeah. Well, you've played quite a bit of it, Pete, already. I mean,
this is it. I mean, I've played, it says something like 20 hours, but it's another game where you can wander off and just leave it on screen. And I am probably halfway through, at least.
Mm.
But I just don't think I'm going to finish it. That's my suspicion.
Yeah, I'm very much the same. I think it's a good game. I've put much better than last. I remember I was really disappointed with Vikings. I've actually enjoyed this game a lot of times, but there's the long loading. There's a lot of loading screens. There's a lot of waiting to watch people move. And for those reasons, it really, the immersion juice that literally like seeps out when you're sitting there just watching people run along.
Yeah, just
runs dry.
But it's difficult because I make it sound like I'm thinking this. I think this is a good game. I think if you're into these kind of games, I think it's if you're into this kind of combat game, I think it's fucking really good actually. Because there's loads of different weapons and classes that means you can play the exact character you want to. But for me, there's a lot of loading. There's a lot of waiting around, and it's good. But I'm not going to... I like with a strategy game to know that I'm going to come back to it day in, day out and play the shit out of it. But
do you think, Eddie, that is because there's a story to this? Do you think the story hinders it?
That's a good point. But I have approached this game like it's an RPG. So yeah. I think that doesn't affect it. Because I have played... what's the fucking other one? Like Baldur's Gate. So I've played my Baldur's Gate.
Divinity.
And I approach games like that, like Pillars. It's an RPG, that I'm playing a character and I'm going through it. And I've been held by games like that in all areas.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, I don't think that would affect it. If they just made it a kind of an open world, kind of build it and try and conquer the map game, it probably still wouldn't keep me because there's a lot of waiting around. And
there's probably better games that do that.
I'd actually say the story is one of its strong points. Alongside the voice acting, the story is really good. It keeps you interested for quite some time.
And you have, Ben, what's really good, I don't know if you've gotten this far, but a lot of the missions you actually have like decisions to make. So you can actually take different routes, be it completing half the mission or killing half the people before
getting
to battles and stuff.
I didn't get far. I played this originally when the demo was out. I got for the feel for the game and I thought, this looks like an excellent game. I didn't think it looked like a me game at that particular moment, but you missed the important thing, I think, didn't you? This is PC Game Pass. So
it is. And this is why we're playing it. It came out on PC Game Pass last week.
Yeah, anyone with a good enough PC can And Game Pass, obviously, can get this. So
I was really upset when it came out because I wanted to play it because I played Vikings and there was a lot of the game that I was disappointed, and I used the word disappointed, not upset. It was still a good game. And I saw by looking at all people playing it and all reviews and whatnot that Expeditions Rome was kind of an answer to that. It was a really good game. But I saw the price tag. I think when it came out, it was something ridiculous. Like 35, I think it was.
Jesus.
And for a game like this, it should be 20 to 30, I think. Yeah. But when it came out on Game Pass, then holy shit.
Absolutely. It's a no-brainer. Yeah.
No-brainer. And I guess to people who like your strategy games like this, it's a no-brainer as well. It's a good game. This could be a game that you absolutely fall in love with, and it's free on Game Pass, so...
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Better men than us will enjoy it immensely, I'm sure.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's low bar, but yeah.
Ooh, it's like an insanely improved Persona.
God,
anyway.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. insanely improved. Right.
Yeah. That's good.
Anyway, with that, it is time to move on to our feature. We are running long, boys. Jesus. That was a lot of games we played.
The sleeping pills kicked in, don't you worry.
It's good. Eddie will be snoring soon. But before that, we probably should talk about the opening night to Gamescom 2022, shouldn't we?
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
As mentioned, this was Tuesday or Wednesday last week. Wednesday, I think, right? Yeah.
I think it was Wednesday.
Let's just commit to saying that, even though we might be wrong.
Yeah, we might be wrong.
It might have been Wednesday our time, but it's fine.
Unless you're listening to it on the release of this pod, and then it was Tuesday.
Right. Yes.
Sure, yes, fine. So, our
That's
approach
a real
to this,
long-running joke, isn't it?
it's got some legs. But, yeah, our approach to this, obviously, if you want to go and watch the opening night, you can still see the recording. It's much like Summer Games Fest. It is very similar, isn't it, in tone?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we had we had a lot of announcements, as you'd expect.
I thought it was pretty good. I thought this was a pretty good little show, because I wasn't expecting an awful lot.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. This one has a bit of it has a lot less expectation on it, so it's a bit of a free pass just to see how it's going to be. And there is a lot in it. I'll come back to that in a bit as well, because it's sort of, there is a lot, but there's also not much. And we'll come back to where I think that. So we're going to run through a few of the things that caught our eyes. And to start with, that's, I suppose, three games that we've seen a lot of, but they still look great. And that's Callisto Protocol, Sonic Frontiers, and Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah. Like, yeah. The more we see of Callisto Protocol, the better. Like,
we're talking about
Dead Space,
Dead Space.
But the thing that's brilliant about it is that the Dead Space remake is going to come out, and they must be... I reckon the Dead Space remake people are probably going... because this game does look, it's got loads of new mechanics in it. It looks really cool. Everything they show looks better and better. Like, they're not missing a beat. They are
showing
gameplay
as well.
Absolutely. They're not scared to show the gameplay. They're just like, this is what it looks like. This is the game.
Yeah.
And everyone's going, brilliant.
Yeah.
They don't need to show anymore, but they're just so confident in the gameplay that they're just showing little segments. And it was that again. I think this is going to be excellent. It comes out in December as well, which is a month which is usually fairly barren for video games. It's coming out. And that I don't think there's any chance of them missing that date because they just keep banging out gameplay.
It looks like it's ready, doesn't it? That's the thing.
Yeah.
From what we're seeing, it looks ready.
Looks really cool.
It does. Now, Hogwarts Legacy, obviously, we know has been delayed.
Yes.
But they are still bringing quite a lot to that as well, aren't they?
I really liked this trailer.
I thought you would do.
I thought it just showed a little bit of edge to this game, and there were decisions. They showed a clear decision that you could make.
Yep.
And combat. And I don't know what you guys think. Like, I think graphically it looks quite good, and they're trying to make realism in a way. I also, in the same breath, feel it looks a little bit wonky. But do you know what I mean?
I do somewhat. I'm interested in the facial animations, by the way.
Yes, so am I.
but
overall, I think that their departure from the Harry Potter books and more towards the lore and Hogwarts itself is an excellent move, creating their own story. And it does allow them to seemingly go down a more like adult path with it. It's it's a
dynamic
genuine
path
game.
In particular. Absolutely. It must be said, I know this isn't the game, it's the actual the Harry Potter franchise. I do like that they just bucket children into brave, boring, intelligent, or evil.
Yeah.
That's the four type of children there are, and that's all there can be.
Well, so many games do that. They play a JRPG.
You're one of those four. If you don't think you're brave or intelligent, you're boring or evil. That's the option.
Yes.
So I do, and I like that we got to see a quote unquote evil one in this story trailer.
Yes.
That was an interesting choice, and I think it's something that we rarely see in the franchise.
Yeah. I really hope this game hits because I do think it will, because Sony have really backed the marketing, so they're obviously in on the game. They must have seen demos of it and been like, this is something we can get behind. Mm. They probably learned from the No Man's Sky thing years ago and probably choosing their games a little bit better to really get behind. But this looks like it's going to be excellent, so I'm really looking forward to it. And Sonic Frontiers, I genuinely think this looks better and better.
Well, yeah, I mean, the first trailer was awful, so...
It wasn't fantastic. It didn't set the world alight, but I think Sonic's going to be a good game. I really do.
Mm. This is the thing. Looking at it, I think it's going to be a good game. Am I going to play it? Probably not.
Yeah, I'm the same.
But it does look decent. It looks like it's well-engineered, if you know what I mean.
I also like the fact that... And I know people don't like this. People really don't like this. But I like the fact that they came out and said... Metacritic is highly correlated with good sales. Now, I don't think Metacritic is highly correlated with good sales. I think a good game is highly correlated with good sales and also correlated with Metacritic. But the reason I'm saying that is because they are focused on getting a high-scoring game. So they are trying to hit all the beats that you'd like to see in an open-world game. So I'm really hopeful, and a lot of people aren't too interested in the combat. I think it looks pretty good. I'm fingers crossed on this, really fingers crossed.
Fair enough.
Are you actually going to buy Sonic Frontiers, do you think?
I am. I do think I am. Yeah, that's
interesting to know. So
I bet it'll be expensive, right?
Oh god, yeah, that's a 70 quid.
Well, I think it's not, it won't be. But the I think there's another big game that comes out on that day. When does Sonic Frontiers come out?
I don't know.
It's not God of War Day, is it? No. I don't know. I could be wrong.
November 8th, 2022.
When's God of War out? Is that the same day?
You can Google these just as quickly as
it's around.
Eddie's on there. Eddie's on it.
No. It's because I've got all the trailers in front of me to remind me of each game. Says it at the end of the trailer.
Okay.
Yeah, sort of.
Okay. Well. I was God of War, not Gears of War.
Bill's kicked in, buddy. Just bear with me.
That's coming out. That's coming out November 9, apparently.
Right. Okay.
So very close.
Oh, right.
I was thinking about this literally a couple of hours ago, thinking, oh, that comes out at the same time. I then said to myself, if I could only afford one, I'd probably buy Sonic.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow. That is big.
So we'll see what happens.
I think a lot of people disagree with that.
Absolutely, no doubt. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that's what I would probably do.
Okay.
So Ben, when you edit this, can you clip out "I'm never saying I'm right" and send it to me? I want that as a ringtone. I also want to play it back to you every time you make a dramatic statement.
Oh, that's kind of good. Yeah. Persona 5 is a good game.
I'm never saying that. Anyway.
Persona's got a lot of heat tonight, but that's fine.
It's no Catherine Full Body.
That was a good game.
You're never saying you're right. That's the key.
That's a good game.
So the next little group of games, I suppose, and again, remember these aren't in order, they're just in order we thought of them. Gotham Knights coming out in October. Is anyone interested in this from us? I know it's a big deal.
Oh, I bet Kirk will. I'm going to say that right now.
That's true. I bet Kirk would be loving the look of this.
I don't... Like, did you see the trailer for this? Did you?
Yes. Yeah.
Because it wasn't gameplay, was it? Like, it was...
No.
It was like this hybrid... It wasn't CGI either. It's like game engine that...
It looked like cutscene type stuff, you know?
Yes, cutscenes, yeah.
And I was thinking, like, maybe just shut up about it. Like, maybe just don't talk about it, because, like, you're making... It's like... I don't think this game looks great from what I've seen. It looks a bit last gen. I actually thought this trailer made it look funner than it probably is.
That's what the trailer's for.
It also looked quite good at times, but also, I don't know. And but I was kind of thinking, like, maybe you should just like not bother. Because I don't know whether you're doing it any favours.
This has got to be the hype time for them, though. And that was the feeling I came away with, too. And then we also had June Awakening, which was just the classic CGI trailer for a new game with basically nothing else.
Nothing.
Now, obviously, it was a good trailer, but
that's great. Yeah, great trailer.
Anyone can make a good trailer, especially when you're reusing the words from the book and the film with iconic
zero
stuff from
efforts
the film.
Made.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like it's a slightly different looking version of Paul Atreides. Like, okay, so I mean, it's a survival MMO. For one, it's survival seems perfect. MMO seems a bit really.
Yeah, really, really upset
in
with
June.
That, yeah.
Like the entire planet isn't really massively multiplayer, even in the original franchise. There ain't that many people there. So
no, and it's a bit derelict. It's a bit sandy.
Yeah, which is why survival is going to work perfectly, because I imagine water is going to be a major thing, which is great. But I'm deeply skeptical about this, and we haven't seen anything yet.
But so, more games in the June universe, the strategy game.
Yeah, Spice Wars has done really well.
I don't think either of you have checked it out, but I think it's got really good reviews.
It's doing brilliantly. Yeah.
I'm sure at some point when the price comes down, you guys will get involved. So
Price comes down, or a couple more factions. And I'll be in there. At the moment, four factions just feels a bit too limited for me. That's the only thing with Spice Wars.
Well, when the next film comes out, this, you know, it'll be in full. I think it'll get everyone interested.
I bet I'd even ignore the price tag. Yeah, when I'm all in the hype, because I love the first one.
Yeah, first film was really good. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah, and then we also had Dead Island 2, didn't we? With an
actually announced. Yeah, it was the end of show presentation. This one, the big hitter, wasn't it? So, release date 3rd of February.
Yep.
And I actually, there's a risk with these, isn't there? Like, we've just seen Saints Row come out, and
good comparison.
You could argue the whole get-up, the whole humor, the whole thing is very Saints Row.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
However, I did like it.
Oh,
like
you sound
I did
slightly ashamed as you should
because I, never, should I watched be. It. I watched it, and then I was like, I had a smile on my face, like, that was pretty cool, actually. Like, it's like it was like Dying Light 2, but just more bit arcadey with some
bit ridiculous,
and it over the top, brutal kills, and just like actually, this is probably more down my alley than Dying Light 2 was.
Yeah, and I suppose the thing is, if you're already buying into the idea of the apocalypse, as it were, it's easier to buy into ridiculous over-the-top bits as well.
Absolutely. I used to like Dead Rising. So Dead Rising 3 was one of the first games I had on the Xbox One. I think it was 3, not 4. It might have been 4. But it came out like day one, I think. And I had that. I used to really like that as well, because it's just, it's a bit more tongue-in-cheek in a way. And yeah, I saw this and I know what they're trying to do with the trailer. I do think there's that Saints Row risk.
Yes.
Completely agree. I thought it was just on the right line, and I was really interested. And also, it comes out in February. But that's really soon.
It does. And can I just take a moment, though, to say, I assume you're both as enraged as you should be that it's called Dead Island and it's not set.
It's not an island. Yeah, it's not an island. Yeah. That's weird.
It's in LA. Yeah.
I can only assume that they're cordoned off or something, so it's like it's an island.
That's not the definition of island. No. Unless they built a moat around it.
No, but maybe that's happened. Like, I think a lot of people thought that.
I suppose a continent is just a very big island when you get down to it.
You go deep down enough. Yeah, you're not wrong.
But anyway, yes, it is coming out February next year, as so many things are. February is the new month for this stuff. It will be an interesting one, won't it? And then I suppose a few of the other ones we picked out here, we had Marauders, Moonbreaker, High on Life, and I see you've written down Lies of P, Ben.
Yeah, so Liza P has been getting a lot of press off the back of this because it looked very Bloodborne-esque.
Yes, yeah, it did.
Even with the UI, it looked really Bloodborne-esque. You know, people think this looks really, really decent. I thought it looked quite good. I assume it's a Souls-like.
Very Devil May Cry, you know?
No,
the
absolutely
better,
not.
The better Souls games.
And it's also coming to the Game Pass day one.
It is.
So, and unlike Bloodborne, this I'm sure will be 60 frames per second. So,
not that that's a bugbear of yours or anything.
It's not a bugbear of mine, but it's a bugbear of many people's.
It's a bit of Penny Dreadful for me.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
I am interested in it. I am interested.
You and me both. We both big fans of the actual TV series of Penny Dreadful, weren't we? So,
massively so.
But the one from this list that I. Well, there's a couple that I thought associated with each people from this podcast, actually. Marauders, Eddie.
Yes.
I don't know if you've seen much of this game, but this game is currently in beta. Mm-hmm. I've seen a shit ton of this played on Twitch, and it's coming to early access PC Game Pass in October. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this game?
I've heard of it, and I've seen quite a bit of gameplay, and... Yeah, it really appeals to me. As you know, I like these kind of looters and shooters. People are calling it Tarkov in space, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know what's really put me off was actually playing that Tarkov in space game that I played last month. Do you remember?
Yeah, it's nothing like that, though. Nothing like that.
What I'm going to say about these kind of games is I can never trust the game until I actually play it.
Yeah. This game's different. Like that one was more land on a planet and it's got like weird creatures and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This is more of a you're in a ship, you fly to different little space stations or outposts or like little places and then you go in there and it's like Tarkov, you land in, you can shoot shit up and stuff. But it's like an alternative reality. I think different people won the war and shit like that and it was all I think it's a dumbed down version of Tarkov. Mm. And it's not as visually appealing in any way. But I do think that this could be right up your street.
I'll certainly play it. I'm 95% chance to play this because it's Game Pass. If it wasn't, then probably more like a 5%. But
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely going to try.
The funny bit with this one as well, by the way, did you see the Homeworld 3 bit of the show as well?
Yes, I did, yeah.
And I was just there going, like, if you combined these two, you'd have a really interesting game. because I like the Homeworld games, but it is like the actual raid inside the ship would be great. And then you see Marauders and you're like, oh, well, I suppose I could just pause halfway through a Homeworld mission, cut to Marauders and pretend.
Pete, Homeworld is doing well. It's got previous two games, so it must be good.
It's a very good series, Ben, that's why. But yeah, that was my overall thought with those, was I wish they had a combined version of Marauders and Homeworld 3.
What about, Pete, that Moonbreaker? Because
I thought that
might have an appeal for you in particular.
Yeah, well, obviously you thought that because it's linked to Brandon Sanderson, who is a famous author who I'm keen on. I like his work. But the game itself, gotta say, didn't do much for me.
So I know, I thought that.
Tactical, turn-based, tabletop-style game with figurines that you can paint.
When he started speaking...
Don't say it like that!
Pete, when he started speaking, were you like... Oh, this is going to be good. And then you saw it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. And I mean, the other bit that made me think it's going to be good, from Unknown Worlds, makers of Subnautica. You're like, oh,
I know.
Fuck.
Really
good
Subnautica.
Author making the world. Really good studio making the game. It's a fucking turn-based figurine game. Like,
weird choice to go down the figurine route, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is. And then they, like, the guy had the... I don't know, the nerve to say that they'd use Firefly for the art style. And I was like, we had very different views on Firefly. Like,
yeah.
This is...
Is it?
I mean, this is a lot more Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't know why he's got involved in this project. Maybe he was like, oh, George R. R. Martin did Elden Ring. Let me try and do this.
Well, no, he is apparently a big tabletop gamer.
Cool. Apparently.
Well, you said he's a gamer, didn't you? Like, you said previously that he's a gamer. And you massively. Wondered why they didn't get him in on Elden Ring.
Well, this is he wondered it himself, like, because he actually did a very long playthrough of Elden Ring, as on stream, which apparently lots of his fans really liked. I didn't check it out, but that's because I'd finished Elden Ring by then. So he's a big gamer and he's clearly into the tabletop stuff. He's talked a lot about D&D in the past as well. So it does kind of fit for him, but it's just not for me, and that's a shame.
Yeah, that is a shame. The other one from this list, which I thought Kirk would like to talk about, he was supposed to be on the show, but isn't. High on Life.
And
did you guys see this? And yes. What did you think?
I still think this is the same as I did before. I think it's going to be fun for people who want to play this type of game.
Yes.
I'm not sure that's me.
This is on Game Pass, remember?
I'm completely sure it's not as well. Yeah.
It is on Game Pass.
Exactly.
My feeling on this is that I think this is going to be a good game. I also think that this was one of the worst things they could have shown for this game. It was boring. It was shit. It was a terrible boss fight. The actual like comedic stuff going on was a bit much. I think might be a bit annoying, but actually I do quite like that type of humor. I do quite like that humor. I don't know how boring that. Don't know how much that would be. How annoying that'd be in the game, because I do like Rick and Morty. I do like that type of stuff. But my God, why did they show this? Fucking hell, man! Like, if you're gonna show off your game, don't do that. Like, if there's anybody out there that was gonna literally buy it and not play it on Game Pass, they're not anymore. That's just awful. But anyway,
I don't know. Maybe some people loved it, but
yeah. But I think it'll be good. I think it'll be good.
Yeah, yes. I think it'll be really good. Actually, I'm gonna play it.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a go because it is Game Pass, and I'll decide after a level or two if I keep playing.
Yeah, fair play.
Now, obviously, there's an absolute ton of other stuff that was shown as well.
So much.
Things like Lords of the Fallen 2, which did look pretty decent for what it was so far. But the overall thing for this, for me at least, is once again, they show us so little that's actually real. Like, so much of it is CGI or cutscene-style stuff. And then a date.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
At least we got dates this time.
Yeah.
The ever optimist.
Dates that will change because it will get pushed back. The ones that stand out are things like Callisto Protocol, where it's like, gameplay. Let's fucking go. Yeah. Show me some stuff. Like, otherwise, this was a lot of CGI trailers.
Yeah, but I was expecting nothing from this event. There are a few good ones, like like Eliza P, like that I hadn't seen before. You got some of these extras. Kojima's doing a podcast. Okay.
Yeah.
Got some competition, boys.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. So I'm interested in that. That's coming to Spotify. We've got PlayStation showing off their new fucking equivalent Elite controller, which, based on their new pricing strategy, is probably about 250 quid. moving out to things like a lot of new kind of announcements. And overall, I thought the opening night was quite good. I had it on in the background. I enjoyed it, you know?
Yeah, you do. You do.
I agree.
Yeah. Jeff Keighley's monthly press release was great. Yeah,
I like Jeff Keighley.
I think maybe that's the difference. I still don't really like him that much.
Don't really like him. That's
I like the guy.
I think he seems like a lovely human being. I don't like his presentation stuff.
Supposedly that's he's great truth. To work with.
There you go. But he annoys the crap out of me when he's talking in his particular fashion. Anyway.
I like it.
Anyway, if people want to disagree or voice something we forgot, how would they get in touch with us, Ben?
So you can email us podcast@grumpygamers.co.uk. You can tweet us @grumpygamerspod. We're also on YouTube, Grumpy Gamers Podcast. You can see that Splatoon gameplay footage there. And we are on Twitch on Thursday, 7 p.m. Grumpy Gamers Podcast, all one word.
Were you about to say on 7 p.m. at Thursdays?
On 7 p.m. at Thursdays.
Fantastic stuff. But for this week, it is GG.
Under Twitch. Right, GG.
GG.